And we welcome you in to our Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game. The 2022-23 season is upon us. John Dickinson back again. A pleasure to be joined by Matt Steinmetz as well. And my goodness, Steiny, feels like we were just doing one of these in Boston coming off the Warriors NBA championship. But it's amazing how much has happened for this team and to this team just in the last couple of weeks, let alone since they last played in Boston back in mid-June.
Yeah, I mean, some Warrior fans will never remember this, but you know it too as a Kings guy. Season usually is over mid to late April, and now the Warriors always seem to play into June. So that's one thing that happens. And Bob Meyer said that, and we can jump off there. How the draft was just a couple days after the Game 6 of the NBA Finals, and the lottery came obviously in the playoffs, and that doesn't mean a thing to the Warriors. So it's just interesting now that the, you know, used to be the Warriors, the off season was about the draft, and now it was about extending somebody and re-signing the other guy. And I mean, I think as the process went along, I started to get the feeling Poole was going to re-sign, but Wiggins was somebody that I hadn't really been considering. And I guess I don't know why now, looking back. And that was the one thing Bob Myers talked about too that was interesting. He goes, yeah, how come nobody was talking about Wiggins during this whole process? And it was a good question, and I'm not sure the answer.
No, it's a great question. And I was of the belief that the best course of action was to sign Jordan Poole. I didn't want that necessarily hanging over him or hanging over the team. The other part of this, as far as Wiggins, was I thought there would be a benefit to the Warriors as far as them waiting Wiggins out and essentially allowing him to become a free agent and in essence using the market against him. I know I'd been somebody, and we talked about this, just looking at the money that Wiggins has made the last 4 or 5 years and projecting forward, even though the cap figures to go up and all of that. Like, to me, Wiggins was primed to either stay the same or maybe have his salary, because it had been so high the last few years, have it go down over the course of the next few years. And it sounds like, you know, Wiggins was open-minded to that idea, which is why this thing did get done, I think, in a little bit shorter order. He took a pay cut beginning in that 2023-24 season, and that made it a no-brainer to me once he was willing to do that. Now, maybe we would have got to that point anyway, as he went out and looked at the market. Maybe not, but either way, he's comfortable here. And, you know, I think being a $25 to $30 million player as the third or the fourth option feels better for Wiggins than trying to be a $40 million player elsewhere and live up to having to be a one or a two on a roster.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I mean, you know, I'm thinking, I wonder why he would do that. And I understand absolutely on the one level. On the other, you might, you know, if he were to put together another season like his last season, and the Warriors were to win it again or go deep, let's say, he might. And because I was generally on board with you, but if he duplicates last year this year and is a free agent, he might get more money than 33 a year if that were the year he ended up having. But you know, if you look at his numbers, and I'm talking salary numbers, I mean, he's already made a ton of money, and he's still really young. And so I kind of get it. He likes it here. Clearly he likes it here. There's no doubt about it. No. I mean, that in and of itself is worth a lot to both sides.
It is. And I think, you know, him taking what he did benefits a lot of different things, because it allowed him to get two of the three pending decisions made at this point with Jordan Poole and with Wiggins. And now you can run it back. And now it's just one less thing that you have to worry about. I know Bob Myers was on with the station earlier this week, and he just kind of said, "Hey, we're going to let it play out and see what happens, and we'll see if Draymond and Jordan Poole can get along. We'll see if he rebuilds the trust. We'll see if the money's around or not. But as we often talk about, let's see how this season ends. Does it end with another championship?
Right.
And at that point, are the Warriors inclined to maybe look to pay everybody, regardless? Though that's almost a 2 years down the line conversation, because Draymond still, at this point, would look like he'd be more likely to opt in than to opt out for next season.
Right.
But it gives the Warriors this 2 year window almost to try and win a couple of more championships, and at some point, if they feel like things are awry in a financial manner, or with, let's say, the team chemistry or production not being what it was, you can pivot at that point and maybe look to move somebody.
Yeah, I think it's I do think there's something to them paying Poole and Wiggins and everybody knowing that Draymond was the third guy, even though, and I'll still do this, and I'm going to keep doing it, I put Clay in this class also. It's interesting because Poole gets paid and Wiggins gets paid, and in a certain kind of way, don't you think that's got to be some kind of message to Draymond, especially after Joe Lacob has basically said it's going to be really hard to pay everybody, probably not going to be able to do it. Okay, well, they just paid two guys, and there's Draymond. So in a way, like, Draymond's got – he does have all the leverage now, because he can either opt in or opt out, and that is going to be a big pivot point regardless, what he does. And so I think we don't know what's going to happen, and they don't know what they're going to do right now. Like, they didn't know what they were going to do last year, but this stuff presented itself to them, basically. And so I think Draymond's going to present himself to them. He's either going to opt out, or maybe he's going to opt in, but things didn't go well and they're going to have to move him or something like that. But I think the decision's going to be made for them over the course of the year, if you know what I mean.
In essence, he'll be so good that he's probably going to opt out, or wants to leave, or at least wants to explore that option. Or in essence, he's so bad that it becomes an obvious that he's going to opt in. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Well, what if he plays 70 games at a really high level, has a really good playoff, and they win it again? At that point, does he opt out and they extend him?
I would think probably not at that point, if he's looking at more, if he's looking at a raise off of, if he's adamant that he should get a raise off of 25, 26 million, or starting at the 27.6 that he would have made had he opted in for next year. I mean, at that point, it feels like maybe a bridge too far. Where I think that the open-mindedness is on the Warriors' end is maybe he opts in for that year. You bite the bullet for one more year on the luxury tax, but he at that point would sign something that's less. Like, to me, as you look at Poole getting paid and Wiggins taking the pay cut and Draymond, and I think you're right, I think Clay even factors into this a little bit as well. To me, the statement being made is, if you're going to be a member of the Golden State Warriors beyond your current contract, you're going to be taking less than you're making right now. And I think that actually goes for Draymond and for Clay Thompson, unless we see a significant jump in Clay Thompson's play from what we've seen since he came back in January.
Well, see, I could see a scenario in which Draymond Green has a good year and opts out, and somebody may give him, 80 or 90 for three years, maybe. Maybe. I'm not saying, I think things have to fall into place, but this is kind of what I mean. There's a big difference between that kind of year and, well, what if he has another year like last, where he misses, 40% of the year, and he struggled in the playoffs. Maybe he struggles more in the playoffs. Well, then what, so you got to let, this is where they're obviously going to let it play out this year. And again, I think maybe at that point, the decision is obvious to everybody, even Warrior fans, what needs to be done.
All right.
And maybe it's you have to bring him back.
Yeah, no, it could very well be. And I think a lot of that decision, John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game, a lot of that decision is also the development of some of the young players and how far along they are. Because I think if the Warriors are still going to be in the championship winning business, then they're going to have to, you know, they're going to need Draymond Green to be a part of it and playing at a high level. The only thing that changes that or makes it easier to me to move on from Draymond Green is you get a big jump really from Jonathan Kuminga or James Wiseman or both of them to where you feel like they can offset some of the production should Draymond leave. I think that's something that's going to be evaluated this year, at the end of this year, even next year if Draymond winds up coming back. But the perfect world scenario is you have a replacement ready and waiting. I think a lot of Warrior fans think, well, duh, Kuminga and Wiseman are going to be that guy. But the truth is they could be really good players and develop the next couple of years and still not be as impactful as Draymond Green has been in terms of helping them win NBA championships.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I'm fascinated to see as these young players get older is, yeah, they're good and they have potential. But Draymond, Steph, Clay, Looney, Iguodala, those are championship players. Ring, you know, multiple time ring winners. And there's a big difference between, hey, this guy's going to be pretty good, and this guy's a champion. And that's kind of what we're finding out over time about Poole, Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody. It's not that they're going to be good or maybe even really good, but are they championship players? And as of right now, so to me, Jordan Poole, you know what? He proved last year, playoffs, forget regular season, because that's playoffs is most important. I think last year he proved that he can be a factor in the playoffs. Were there moments then where he couldn't? Sure. He's 23 or whatever it is. So Poole to me can be a championship, can be a top seven rotation guy and a championship player. We don't know that about any of the other guys. Can Moody be that kind of guy? No, like, and I'm not even going to superstar yet. Right. So I think that's what we're going to find out this year. And that's what, because to me, JD, think about it. Let's say the Warriors have deep playoff run and win it. So you have Curry, Clay, Wiggins, Looney, and Draymond. Well, they're going to need at least one other guy than Poole, I think, to be good. And it's going to have to be one of the younger guys. But maybe they can't do it. But maybe one of them can. And then you realize, hey, you know, maybe it's Wiseman. And you say, wow, now maybe Wiseman can be the starting center on a championship team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we don't know that yet.
No, we don't. And I want to get into kind of the rotation and playing time and roles for some of these young players and also the veteran players. But I did want to hit you with just the Jordan Poole contract extension. When you saw the news break and the amount of money that it wound up being, 140 with all the incentives. And then I'll be honest, when I saw 140, without knowing how much of it was incentive based, I gulped a little bit. I really did. And I don't get the impression that a lot of Warrior fans did. There was a lot of, this is awesome, happy for JP, you know, good for him, good for the Warriors to pay him. When I saw it was 123 in terms of the guarantees and much closer to the Tyler Hero deal, it made a little bit more sense than it did at 140. But I guess what I'm getting at is, do you, like, what type of player does Jordan Poole have to be to live up to that contract? Because the one thing I've heard a lot and seen from the Warrior fan base is there's almost this belief that he got paid like a big boy and now he's got to almost be he's going to be an all-star. He needs to become a superstar. And I actually think the Warriors, they paid him market value for what he's done to this point, and sure, they want him to get better. And if he does turn into an all-star or superstar, it's going to wind up being a bargain type contract over the course of the next 4 or 5 years. But I also don't think like, I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit on all-star, superstar, and having to, like to me, he just needs to be a really good sixth man that could start and be an extension of what he's been to this point. Is that fair? Or once you get paid that much, you got to become a level or two better than you are to this point?
Well, first of all, how's he going to be an all-star if he's coming off the bench?
Great question.
He can't be an all-star if he's coming off the bench. So, I mean, I think Jordan Poole's a really good young player. I do. And especially in this day and age where the game's at, his ability to score. See, one of the reasons I think the Warriors have won it over the years is because they're one of the best teams at when S breaks down, can somebody make a player a shot? And to me, the Warriors as a team have done that better than anybody in the last 8 or 10 years.
Absolutely.
And now they got another guy who can kind of do it. Poole. Doesn't mean he's going to shoot 52% from the field, but what it means is he may get you two or three during the course of a game where you shouldn't even get any points at that end of the floor. He's going to be the sixth man. He'll probably start a bunch of games because Clay and Steph will not play, but I'm with you. I mean, basically, give me four more years of last year and just tighten things up over the course of that period of time, and it's going to be worth it. And you know, to me, it's you have to do it. And here's the other thing, and I truly believe this. I remember when Chris Mullin was a Warriors GM and was talking about the contracts, and they signed different guys here and there, and he said, well, you know, if it doesn't work out, we'll just trade them. And it's true. I mean, and you were the first to bring this up, but just because they extended Jordan Poole doesn't mean he's going to be a Warrior 12 years from now. They can,
or even three.
He's got, like, if something were to come up and you're another team and you look at Jordan Poole and you say, you know, that kid's pretty good and he's under a reasonable, fair number, and the Warriors think they have a play for a guy they really want, you know, to me now, Wiggins and Poole are very tradable if you need them to be.
Absolutely. And that could maybe help you get another big boy that you may find that you need at some point. Like, that is the beauty of the way the Warriors have this roster built, as we kind of shift gears into that as it pertains to this season and maybe more on the nightly basis. But when you look at how this roster is built, it has a functionality right now in terms of, you know, the young players are going to get a lot of minutes in the rotation to try and develop, I think more than last year, but they are veteran enough to where in a pinch, they don't necessarily have to play them, or in a playoff series, they don't necessarily have to play them. But as far as the big picture component of it, they do have tradable young assets if they wanted to get back into the game of going out and let's say finding a star. I mean, there was a point this offseason where the case for going and getting Kevin Durant was that it would be more financially responsible than paying everybody. And so How do we know at some point in the next year or two that another type player like that, where you do give up maybe three contracts and you bring back one, but it winds up you get maybe another star, but you also get your financial house organized better than you have it to this point. You could save money and get a star at some point. There are very few teams, if any, in the league that could make the case that they can have it as many different ways as the Warriors are trying to have it right now.
No doubt about it. I mean, right now, the Golden State Warriors, with the exception of draft picks, pretty much, they'll have what any team wants if that team's given up, let's just say, their best player. If any team is, you name any best player on any team, and the Warriors could probably put together a package where the other team would be intrigued. And to me, that's all you want to do. I mean, if I don't know what he's 27, but you know, I'm talking about guys like, you know, if Joel Embiid is like, I'm out of here in Philly. Okay, Philly, what might they want? Well, they're going to need a center for sure. Well, maybe Wiseman's good by that point.
Yeah, why you could do Wiseman, Poole, Moody, you know, Wiseman, Poole, Wiggins, exactly. Whatever. And you got exactly. And you got action. You could, you know, Kuminga, exactly. If they're interested in Kuminga, maybe instead of somebody else, you throw him in there and you got action and you're getting a Joel Embiid type at that point.
And that's the thing. And that's where, let me just throw this at you. To me, there's a chance that could happen almost sooner rather than later. Because if, let's say you're the Warriors and you're kind of going through this year and they're just signs that you're not, you don't like some of the signs. But a big boy comes available like Embiid or somebody who's 25 or 26. Ideally, I would make a move like that so you would get that 25-year-old an overlap with Steph Curry at this point. So you get somebody in here, not who signed as a free agent, because I think it'll be tough to get a free agent like that. But you know, you get Embiid, who's 25, and now he gets to play with Curry for 2 or 3 years, and then it's clearly his team, if that's the way you want to talk about it. And then you keep the window open for the next 3 years, whereas maybe you would have had to wait a little bit because the young guy caught up with Curry yet.
No, I think that's a great point. I think that another one of the many options that the Warriors could have as far as what they're trying to navigate here, and they've been really good to this point at pivoting, but also not making the rash decision that can wreck the whole thing too. And they've taken their lumps, at least over the course of, you know, the pandemic shortened seasons. They took their lumps some, but now it looks like, all right, Steph and Clay are back, and Draymond, we'll see about that decision. And Wiggins has become a championship player, at least as the four, and Looney now suddenly is healthier than he was 2 years ago. And Jordan Poole's this incredible sixth man. And you still have, you know, young veteran pieces like Dante DiVincenzo, more of an older veteran type piece in Jamichael Green. So you've got 7-8 players that you can trust as far as, let's say, a veteran type rotation. And then you've still got Moody and Wiseman and Kuminga now almost in that 9-10-11 role where, yeah, they're going to play, but you're also not going to be totally dependent on them being successful if you're whole on a night in, night out basis. So I think there's a means to be able to win a lot of regular season games while also developing these young players who all three of them, really, Moody, Kuminga, and Wiseman, I think all pretty clearly look better than when we saw them last, which is a pretty good sign.
Yes, but they're going to be asked to do more this year probably than last year, especially during the regular season.
But how much more, I think, is the question. And that's kind of the question I'd have for you. Like, how much are we talking? Yeah, they're going to have to play more, but how much? I think,
well, first of all, Steve Kerr was saying yesterday they're not in great shape. So it doesn't sound to me like Steph Curry's going to reach 30 minutes for the opener.
No doubt.
That's what it kind of sounds like. So, you know, and I know, you know, a year or two back, Kerr got hit for chasing wins. They're not, they will not chase wins this year, I don't think. Now, what does that look like? What that looks like is, to me, Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody, and Poole, forget Poole for a minute, but the three other guys, you know, they're going to fit somewhere into this rotation over the course of a season where they're going to get consistent. You know how Moody kind of, well, I looked at the numbers. So Moody, 82 games, he played 52 and he started 11. So he started, he came off the bench, and then he didn't play. So he did all three.
Right.
I think, and Kuminga kind of did that also. And I think there's just going to be more consistency to those guys' minutes this year, meaning they're going to have more of an effect over the long haul of the season more than some games here and there.
Yeah, I think they're all going to play. And I know last week when I was filling in for Goo on your show, I mapped out the rotation and I said, you know, is Kuminga really going to play? Is he going to play that much? And the more I've looked at it over the last week, he may not play as much as the fan base thinks he's going to play as consistently, but he's going to play more than he did last year because they're going to have to play all of these guys more than they did last year, because they're just the next men up, and the Warriors are going to have players that are going to be out. So if you're the 11th man, one, Steve Kerr plays 11 typically in the regular season, even when they're whole. But on any given night, your 11th man may really be your eighth or your ninth man because of the natural ins and outs and not chasing it and making sure everybody's rested, you know, comes into play.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at it realistically, if Kuminga, and I know Steve Kerr likes versatility, but whoever is Draymond Green's backup this year, you're going to play. You're going to absolutely positively play.
And that's Green and Kuminga and maybe Moody even.
Well, exactly. But what I was saying, if let's just say you had the situation where Steph Curry's a one, he plays 34 minutes, so somebody's going to play 14, and Clay's going to play 30 minutes. That means 18 minutes at two. If you did that for Draymond Green, you're going to play a lot. You're going to play full games sometimes, and you're going to play 18 minutes a night at least, I would think. If somebody told me right now Draymond's going to give you 60 games at 28 minutes a night, I think you take it.
I think you probably take, no doubt. I think it might even be more like 55, and you might take that.
Well, I think, and that's the thing, you take 30 if you also knew he would be ready for the playoffs. And that's kind of the conundrum with Draymond as he gets a little bit older. You know, what I don't know what kind of season Draymond's capable of, because he really hasn't played a full season in a while. You know, can he play a 70-game season? To me, 70 is the new, you know, above 75, let's say. To me, if you play over 75, that was always a full season. If you play 70 to 72 now, to me, that's a full season. Just because of the, like, I don't hold it against the guy. If he's 72, to me, is enough.
One prediction I'm going to make right now, just about a player we haven't really talked a lot about, who's a young player, but he's also a veteran. I think Dante DiVincenzo is going to be a pretty important player for the Warriors this year. Just the fact that he can play both guard spots, he can play with Steph, I think he can play with Clay, he can play with Poole. I think having that extra guard, which allows Moody to bump up and be more of a wing type player as opposed to a guard, I think that's going to wind up being a big signing. And he's not, you know, he's not Gary Payton II at all in terms of the style of play, but I think he is going to have the ability to be more impactful in different ways than Gary Payton II even was. He's a good defender. He's a smart passer, it seems like. He's a little erratic, which I think will fit right in with the Warriors. Sometimes some bad shots or some turnovers. But I think he is a young, solid player that I think we're going to look back and go, man, they were really lucky that they were able to get him on the deal that they got him on as kind of a glue guy.
One of the things I love doing, I love this part of what we do, is we're going to get to see DiVincenzo play a whole season. And I don't know a lot about him. I mean, I think I have a picture of him, but I really don't know. And there's nothing like seeing a guy for a whole season and really you seeing what kind of player he is. JaMychal Green's kind of the same way. You know, I thought he was completely ordinary for much of his career. Last couple of years, I was like, hey, you know, he can help you. And I just have a feeling he's going to look better than he ever has to me as an opponent when he's on the Warriors. So, you know, and we saw it with Spates. And what's Spates capable? Well, we saw with, you know, Barbosa, Livingston, like all those guys that we saw over a full season. You just you appreciated them more because you realize, you know what? No, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. They're not guys you're bringing off the bench who hurt you. And that's what most teams have, guys who hurt you off the bench.
No doubt. Let's wrap it up in this way. Final two, three minutes here. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, our Warriors Weekly podcast. Let's look around the Western Conference a little bit. Biggest challengers for the Warriors in the West. I also, you know, I've got the the same top five in the East in any order, whether it's Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, Miami, maybe Brooklyn. I drew a line and put maybe Brooklyn as a fifth in there in the East. Is there anybody else in the East off the top of the head that you'd give any credence that could be a contender? Just real quick, and then we'll get into the West.
I put money on a team outside that, just to surprise, it'd be Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah, with Donovan Mitchell and their young players.
Yeah, I think Cleveland could be a team that's better than people think. Maybe three or four, something like that.
Is there one team that's got a leg up in your mind of those five, let's say?
I think all those teams healthy, I think the Bucks are still the best team. And I say still because they didn't have Middleton last year. And, yeah, I think the Bucks, if they're healthy, are the best team in the East.
Okay. I'd probably go Milwaukee, Boston, Philly, Miami, and then we'll see about Brooklyn on top of that. But it's semantics, and I'm really interested to see how Boston deals with not having their head coach and not having their head coach for the reasons that they don't have their head coach. I think that can make things a little bit weird. As far as the West, I'm picking the Warriors to be one in the West in the regular season. Believe it or not,
the number one seed.
I think they're going to be the number one seed in the Western Conference. I've got Denver 2, Memphis 3, the Clippers 4. And then I go Phoenix 5, Dallas 6, Minnesota 7, the Pelicans 8. I've got the Lakers 9 and Sacramento 10 as far as the teams in the play-in tournament. You like any of that? You hate any of that? Who's the biggest threat to the Warriors in the West? Is it still Memphis?
Well, I think it could be three teams. To me, the Clippers, the Nuggets, and Memphis are the three teams. So you clearly think the Lakers are incapable of putting a season together, which is fine. The Pelicans I'm finding interesting. They're actually a team that I could see maybe being better than Dallas.
Yeah, I don't love Dallas.
I don't understand how Dallas gets better. I know they got Christian Wood, but nevertheless, I wouldn't put the Warriors first just because I do think it's going to be a bigger picture for them. And so if they finish first, that means they almost finished first on cruise control. And if they can do that, well, then they are the best team in that conference and probably you're going to win it again.
Yeah, I think it'll be close. I think Denver's got a shot maybe to be the team if Murray and Porter Jr. are healthy and Jokic is at a similar level. I think they've got a shot to be the team that maybe takes the regular season the most seriously, and that puts them in a position to maybe, you know, come out on top as far as the regular season. Well, good stuff, Steiny. Our first one in the books. We'll be doing this once a week here. Looking forward to it, my man.
Yeah, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. For Matt Steinmetz, I'm John Dickinson. Our Warriors Weekly podcast in the books.